Hi guys, I'm Ricardo Paul. Welcome to the 124 Not Out video podcast. And I'm joined by my co-hosts in life and wife, Baja Powell, my queen. How you doing?
I'm good, King. How you doing? Welcome to Atlanta, Georgia, everybody. Virtually, at least. Yeah.
Couldn't be better. The sun is out. Everything looking nice.
I'm very concerned about you. The sun is not out, people. Right now, we are on a tornado watch. It's a thunderstorm. It's been raining all night. I don't know what my husband is seeing, but it's a rainy day in Georgia. What can I tell you? But I'm so excited because one of my favorite players is coming today.
Yeah. Well, you know, today is just one of those days when, you know, when you have special guests like these, it's always going to be important to make sure that you have one of the best topics to discuss. And who better to discuss this topic?
Hold on. We need to remind the people where to find us. Okay, guys, as you know, we're global, and that's why we have global cricketers up in the 124 Not Out podcast. But you can find us on TikTok, well, clips, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Facebook, IG, and you can see our shows on 124notout.com, BashaTV.com, Ricardo Paul, CricketAcademy.com.
Everywhere.
Hello, let's go.
So, guys, we're here. So today, we're going to be discussing, of course, our cricket board becoming obsolete, which is going to be a big topic to discuss.
Yeah,
who better to discuss this than the man himself from Zimbabwe, Hamilton Mazakadaza.
You don't know how to pronounce that name, eh?
As you know, this is to me just a special moment because many years ago when I first toured Zimbabwe, I used to look at the development of cricket and to realize later on, like someone like Hamilton, whilst in high school, made his test debut. He was the youngest batsman to score a test century. I mean, that was something special for me to not only witness, but to eventually meet Hamilton later on. So, Hamilton, welcome.
Thanks, Ricardo. How are you guys doing?
We're well, Hamilton. Welcome to Georgia.
I will say though the weather is much better in Harare than it is there.
I am so
you
happy.
You should come to Harare.
We are. You've extended the invitation on more than one occasion, so we're going to take you up on that. But the weather here is ominous, as they say in cricket. It's ominous.
It's just not a good day for cricket. I mean, it's just one of those days.
Yeah. It's almost like when you take off, when you decide that you're going to have cricket at the Queen's Park Oval in Trinidad, that's the day it's going to rain. And if it's not raining for the whole year, it's going to rain that day once you put out those stumps, you know?
Yeah.
They always say, though, if you want any rain in anywhere, just bring some cricket in. Why don't you do that, the rain will come.
Three stumps, and the rain will come. Yeah.
All right, guys. So let's get into it. We're going to get into it. You know, Hamilton, based on our topic today, you know, our cricket board becoming obsolete. We're going to jump right into it. When I look at someone like you, you are a former Zimbabwe test captain. And immediately after cricket, you went straight into administration. Like, how and why did you decide to do that?
Ricardo, to be fair, even during my career, I was looking at sort of the opportunities and what I wanted to do sort of to give back to the game as well. That's given me so much. So for me, it was not a very difficult decision to get into administration because I was looking around and I realized that some of the issues that we had as players was just because we just didn't have enough cricketers or former cricketers behind the scenes in administration. So someone once told me that whenever you see a problem, always try your hardest to be part of that solution to that problem. So for me, it was a very easy choice to cross over to admin because I know it is a little bit boring and sitting behind the desk. It's not as exciting as coaching and being out there with everyone else, but I still feel that someone has to do the job. And I felt I was always going to put my hand up for that. Most of the guys really do want to go into the more exciting stuff like the coaching and that sort of stuff where you stay a little bit more in touch and closer to the team. But I always knew that admin was going to be my space.
I wish I had the same experience as you in terms of having former players or former teammates go into administration and the players were happy with them when they got there.
Okay, what Some say about his student being happy. What did you say?
I said, for now, let's just say I'm there and I'm an admin. We'll discuss the idea about the players being happy about me being there on another day.
At least he's honest, but, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's just a joke. But I think it really does make a difference because I can be able to feed in into the administration side from a player's point of view. So it definitely makes the player's job a lot easier as well. Because of the lot of issues, a lot of the things that need to be fixed, I experienced them firsthand. I'm still close enough to most of the guys that are still playing now. So I have a very good idea of what the guys require and what the guys need fixed from our end as the administrators.
But do you find it as easy in terms of from when you were a player, now that you're actually in the position as an administrator, do you find it as easy some of the problem that you had, and now that you're sitting in that seat, to fix those problems and that maybe communication or maybe that, you know, that the board didn't have a good dialogue with the players to really understand what those problems were and could have fixed them or made the players understand that, hey, it's not that easy to really fix something as it comes up.
So you mentioned a very important point there. Firstly, the communication bit. I think that's one of the biggest thing that lags behind a little bit. That part I found very easy because some of the information that might be there at sort of board level doesn't necessarily cascade down to the players. And a lot of the frustrations and a lot of the issues that crop up are because of that people are not exactly aware of what's happening behind the scenes. People are not exactly aware of what the board is thinking. People are not exactly aware of the direction the board is taking. So, for example, when the board decides to start rebuilding, like we are doing at the moment with our T20 team, previously there wouldn't have been enough communication when things like that started to happen, even when I was still playing. But for me, being in the position that I am now, it's that easy for me to just approach the affected players and just have that sort of conversation with them at length and just say, no, this is the direction that we're taking. This is what we're feeling about you. And then so it's easier for the players to adjust. And it's easier for the players to adapt and understand the whole thing. So for me, communication is a very, very big point that you mentioned. And then in terms of actually trying to fix some of the issues, it's obviously not as easy because being aware of the issues is one thing and being able to fix it is totally another. But obviously, we try our hardest and we try to put our best foot forward to sort of fix a lot of what's out there. But for me, the one thing that I really did realize straight away was obviously having to live within the resources that you have. There's a lot of ideas and a lot of things that you'd want to do and implement, but you can only do it to a certain extent because you're only limited to certain budgets and certain figures. So some of those things are the ones that some of the players might not understand why they're not happening as quickly as they would want them to. But obviously, it's a journey that you'll be moving towards, and you obviously try to get that across to them as well. But in terms of the communication, I found that one of the easiest things to do and one of the things that really had a positive impact on the players as soon as I came in.
Sounds good. I guess that's why they call you the president, right? I mean, a lot of fans call you the president. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm Hamilton's legend agent. I'm very proud to say that. You know, I'm his agent and it's an honor, indeed an honor to represent him globally. But, you know, usually as a legend agent, I give my players a lot of names. But I didn't give you the name the president. A lot of fans on your social media, they keep calling you the president. You are aware of this, right? Do you know why they call you the president?
I have a few naughty teammates that do call me Prez as well. I've tried to sort of get rid of that name, but unfortunately it's kind of stuck.
But I like it because maybe the fans are clairvoyant. They know that one day you'll be the president of Zimbabwe Cricket Board. How about that?
Right,
you tell people they're going to get me fired.
No. Mr. President of Zimbabwe Cricket Board, Hamilton is not coming for your job. His agent is a little cuckoo, right?
Okay. Brilliant.
Yeah, we got that sorted. All right. So let's move on to another section that we like to call International versus Franchise. Right up your alley, Hamilton. In your opinion, right, which is easier, an international career or a franchise career?
That would be a slightly difficult question for me to answer because when I played, we didn't have as many leagues that we have now, and I didn't have as much opportunity to sort of make inroads in leagues. But I think in terms of being easy, I would definitely say the franchise leagues would be easier because, for example, you get to pick and choose when you play. You get to play for a lot less time. There's a lot less pressure. Because it's totally different turning out for a franchise or turning out for your country, where there are a lot more people watching and a lot more people expecting a lot from you. And obviously, with what comes with national pride and wanting to do well for your nation, the pressure is a little bit different. So for me, I'll definitely say playing franchise cricket should be easier than playing international cricket.
Well, this will lead me right into my next question. So if you had to do it all over again, what would you choose? International or franchise?
So for me, the answer to that question is very easy. So growing up, I saw what my cricketing heroes did. I won't be shy to mention that a lot of our cricket and a lot of what we do is based on what the West Indians do. We follow a lot of West Indian cricket. I'll have you know, Ricardo, I was actually a very big fan. I haven't mentioned this before, but hard hitting
Exclusive.
in the middle order. I knew all about it. And actually, one of my favorite players of all time was actually Chris Gayle as well. Even though I did get to play a lot against him, he was still one of my favorite. It was like I'm saying, a lot of our cricket was based on watching what the West Indians. So for me, just watching what playing well and the national team performing, what they just did for the fans in the West Indies, just how it got people together, even bring it closer to home. When we were watching our national heroes as well, when we're youngsters growing up, watching them turning out for the country and doing well in front of our home crowd as well, doing well at the 99 World Cup in England, things like that. It always brewed that. That willingness and that ambition to represent my country, and not only represent my country, but represent it well. So for me, nothing would have ever taken away from that desire and that will to wear that Zimbabwe badge. So even if the franchise cricket had come a little bit earlier, I will still have gone international cricket any day before
Any day. Oh, that gives me chills, you know? That gives me chills because, but I wanted still to ask you, you mentioned something. First of all, I want to say that the man Ricardo Powell, who is the co-host of this podcast, was a part of the 1999 World Cup. You know, that's when he made his debut for West Indies, you know, very special years. And that gives me chills because I don't think so far we've asked a number of cricketers this, and I haven't really heard anyone describe it like you. And I never thought about it like that because I often feel as an agent that, oh my God, why didn't franchise cricket start earlier? But based on what the president has just said, I think everything happens in its right time because we would not have known each other the way we do as in the cricket fraternity, right? If you were not Hamilton Mazza-Kadaza who played for Zimbabwe, that is a whole different effect. Or Ricardo Powell or Chris Gayle, who played for West Indies, or Lindell Simmons, or, you know, and the list goes on. Christopher Mpofu, who played for Zimbabwe, Heatstreak. You know, it's just amazing that the pride, like to hear you guys who were the ones who did mostly international say that you would still choose that, which means that you chose country over money, essentially.
Well, yeah, I think that was a dream. I mean, it was always a dream as a child growing up. Your dream was always to represent your country. You have, and that's why it's so important to have, whether it be mentors, heroes in the sports or whatever field that you would want to choose eventually, that you see these people doing well and you're like, that's what I want to do one day. This is what I want to do for my country. This is
That's
how I want to make the
true.
people of the country feel. So I think we're pretty much on that same
But
page.
Hamilton, you mentioned Chris Gayle as one of your heroes, who's also a member of the 124 family, like you. But can you tell us some of your other childhood heroes who inspired you to play the game?
Oh yeah, there's quite a few as well. Obviously, some of the West Indian legends. I didn't get to watch too much of Sir Viv, But obviously, he was a brilliant player. I watched a little bit more of BC and Shiv.
Yeah.
So those two as well as Betters, I always had had time for. I mean, both those two, BC and Shiv, it was nearly next to impossible to both spin at them in overs cricket. You just can't. The skill is just too good.
Yeah.
You're just not even going to get a single dot there. So, yeah, I used to love watching those guys. And then my heroes back home as well. We have quite a few. There was one better, the late Trevor Madondo, who I used to watch growing up. Unfortunately, passed on a bit early, so he didn't get to play as much for the country. But I did play with him in a little bit of second team cricket and a little bit of provincial cricket as well. And he was a really, really good player. He was one of my heroes. I used to love his fearlessness, his stroke play. He was one of the guys who brought the West Indian flair into the picture as well. He used to bat without a helmet. And he used to love that, even against the Seamers.
What?
So just growing up watching those guys. And then obviously, guys like Andrew Flower, he's obviously a cricketing, Zimbabwean cricketing legend.
Yeah.
Again, another guy who just took his game to the next level when he was playing. He spent some time with us as well at our local club back here in Zimbabwe. Obviously did a lot of good things for us. And then some of the guys that I played with, I mean, playing alongside Elton Chikumbura, the all-rounder, one of the very few guys that could ball upwards of 140 clicks that Zimbabwe's produced and still hit the ball as well as it did. So, yeah, so those are just some of the guys that that come to mind. And then playing alongside someone like Brendan Taylor as well, obviously a really, really good player, Tatenda Taibu. So those are also the local guys that I played with that really encouraged me and that did really well as well for us.
And just to clarify for our listeners and our viewers, you made mention to the West Indies player and you kept saying BC. Now, a lot of our Georgia people don't understand, hey, you know who BC is? The great Brian Charles Lara.
Oh, yeah, I forget that I'm not only really talking to cricketers.
Yeah, we have a mainstream platform and they may not know who the great Brian Lara is, but yes.
The legend
Brian Charles Lara, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I always make the joke that he had the batting world record for Test cricket. And then all he was doing before he furthered it was waiting for someone to break it. Because he held it for the whole time. Matthew Hayden broke it. And then he was quickly back to the top because he just broke it again.
Yeah.
A lot of greatness there.
That's really amazing. But, you know, it just goes to show that you can't beat the system. It's not the same. I mean, as given birth to a child, but, you know, they're doing all types of things these days to make things easier, to make life easier for this and AI, this and that. But it's like giving birth to a child. It's always going to be 36 weeks, full term, you know? And it's the same process with cricket because you can't, a lot of youngsters are coming out now and they feel that, especially with this social media craze and everybody needs to be ticked and verified and everybody want to be a star overnight, as opposed to being a really good, solid cricketer. You know how many cricketers I know who should have played for their countries, who came through the ranks 20 years ago and before, but nobody knows them. But they are like some of the greatest cricketers to have ever played the game.
Yeah.
Because they had that foundation and that talent, you know?
Yeah, I think that was a strength, I mean, for me, back in the days of West Indies cricket and also Australian cricket, where you had guys who played first-class cricket for many years. They would have thousands of runs behind their name, but they still could not make the team. But at any given point, you'll see, as they would call it back then, one-hit wonders, where they would have gotten a break. Maybe Viv was injured for a game. Maybe Gordon Greenidge was injured. Maybe Courtney Walsh was injured. And they came in and they played two or three test matches. And they make, you see, they have three test match, 100, two test match, a 5-wicket haul. Because that level of experience and exposure that you had playing first class cricket coming into the team, then, you know, you were like hungry to grab that space. And you don't have that anymore. You don't have that anymore. I mean, I think about even Hamilton himself, when you played an ODI series where you scored over 1,000 runs. And in that series, I think to date, you're probably still the only batsman who have made 150 runs twice in that series.
For Zimbabwe.
Nobody has really broken that record.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having that experience going into franchise cricket, it's so much better. And you have a longer lifespan playing even franchise afterwards, because now the best of the best plays franchise cricket. And mm-hmm. if you're not experienced enough and equipped enough, you might have a good season and then it's all over. You're seeing it in IPL now, where guys are coming in and having a one good season, and the next season they're just not cutting it. And these guys are not sticking around with anybody. They don't have time to wait on anybody to come good for the next season. They want the next best thing. So you have to be careful when you choose.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have this, you know, enough of what we think. You know, you have people who, you know, you have your fans who call you the president. And we have this segment called I'm Asking for a Fan. So let's hear. The fans want to, you know, this is what I love about the 124 podcast. You see, we want to hear from the fans. And I just mm-hmm. want to remind everybody to send your video questions. You can send it via IG video. For any cricketer that's coming up here, we're going to have a lot of the top cricketers from around the world. But Asking for a Fan is a very special segment, because this is where you get to answer your fan directly. So let's hear what the fan wants to know.
Hi, this is DVS Patel from Memphis, Tennessee. I have a question to Hamilton Masakata. Who is your favorite cricket player of all time?
Masakata?
We'll have to work with that pronunciation.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting question, that. But I think it would have to be easily the Gale Force, Christopher Henry Gale.
The universe boss, huh?
The universe boss.
Nice. Nice. That makes me feel proud, you know?
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, there was no influence on my side for him to say that. That's just his organic feeling as an international cricketer. Yeah, I think
so now maybe if I can share a little bit on that as well. I think Chris, at the early stage of his career is when I really started enjoying watching him. Mm-hmm. He came on tour to Zimbabwe, that tour when I made my debut. And at first, I think we got him out early in one of the earlier games. I think mm-hmm. in one innings, we got him out quite cheaply. But I think for the rest of the tour, that was the last time we got him out early. So that's when I really first started watching him bat, because I saw it from the opposition side, mm-hmm. Just how he applied himself and how he played. Even before he started having all that flair and smashing it like he ended up doing, just playing test cricket was my first view of Chris, and just playing in a couple of 3-day practice games against him really showed me what he could be as a player, and I just enjoyed watching him since then.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, you're both you and Ricardo are fixtures in the Legends and Masters franchise around the globe now. And I'm proud to say that I'm your legend agent, you know, and a name given to me by your Zimbabwe colleague, the great Christopher Mpofu. You know that he gave me the legend agent name, right? All right. Would I have a question for you guys? Would you say, because I've been seeing a lot of comments about this on social media, would you say that the Legends title is being misused? You go first, Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask Ricardo to go first.
I mean,
give it the big leave.
I mean, when you look at the so-called Legends League that are playing around the world, and the title Legends League this, Legends League that, Legends League this, and you see some of the players who are actually playing in the leagues, you begin to question. You begin to ask, is this an actual legend league? What is the title about? I mean, I think you have legends, you have masters, and you have to really decide.
Okay, Paul, tell us exactly what you're saying, because we I think that you're being a little sick. We don't understand what you're saying.
Definitely being used loosely, because some of these guys who are playing are not legends. They have never been legends. They have never played for their country. They've never even played first-class cricket. So for me, it's a word that has been used loosely, and they need to look at how they use it or look at the players that they involve in these tournaments.
Hmm.
Hamilton, please speak your mind. We're here to speak our mind.
I'm trying to think. I'm a little bit the opposite of what Ricardo is playing, because the matches, the tournaments that I've attended, I've seen quite a few legends.
Are you saying that you play the authentic legends tournament?
I think so. In other words,
you're welcome.
I think the legend agent has done very well in making sure that that's been my experience.
Thank you.
I need to speak to my legend agent, because I am playing some tournaments where I'm seeing guys where they're calling legend tournaments and masters, which is it's questionable.
Hamilton, thank you. I so appreciate when my players appreciate me, because as you can see, I'm underappreciated on this side of the world. I think I understand Hamilton's comment simply because you play in the biggest ones. Let me stop being politically correct. Not every tournament is about legends, okay? Some tournaments are now piggybacking on the word, the title, whether it's legends or masters. Mm-hmm. And you know when they're piggybacking, when the criteria for selection looks a little different, you know? Mm-hmm. But the reason for that we will go into in another topic. That topic might be called betting and gaming. I don't know. So, you know, people have tournaments for different reasons. Let's put it that way. How about that? You know? So it depends on what type of player you are. You may show up. And that's how I feel about that as a legend agent.
Well. And that will take me into my next question for Hamilton in terms of, I mean, as you know, the World Cup is currently scheduled to be played in the US and the Caribbean this June. ICC, they named Usain Bolt as an ambassador. Mm-hmm. How do you feel and what do you think that, do you think that cricket will be part of the next Olympic based on that strategy where they're looking to introduce a track and field star into cricket? The next Olympics after the one, I think this year or next year, will be in the United States of America. Do you see that being a possibility?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I'll comment on Usain Bolt. For some of our viewers out there that don't know this, Usain was actually a cricketer at one stage.
Correct.
Bowled some brisk seam, I believe. And there is actually a video on YouTube if you look it up, where he played like a benefit game and he actually got Chris Gayle out. Obviously, after receiving a few licks first, but he still got the last laugh. And just on a point on cricket being part of the Olympics, it's actually quite exciting because there's been talk that has been happening. Initially, they were going to try and push for cricket to be part of these next Olympics, but then they decided to change that. But cricket is definitely a part of the next Olympics. That's one thing that's already been decided. That's already one thing that has been worked out. And as a result, even for us here in Africa, we attended or we participated in the African Games for the first time as a sporting coach this time around in Ghana. And it's all just part of the preparation. The fact that we're now being introduced into these sort of games that serve as Olympic qualification for some of the athletes that attend them, where the whole of Africa takes part. And with cricket being involved, it's part of the preparation of starting to get ready to be an Olympic sport. And I think, yes, definitely cricket is going to be part of the Olympics. And depending on the venue, I think that's the one biggest question, whether the host venue does have cricket fields, which the US obviously does. So we'll definitely have cricket. And I think the next edition as well is going to be at a place where there are fields. So definitely people can look forward to cricket being a part of minimum the next two Olympic Games.
See, and you have access to that information when your client is also a member of the cricket board, right? He attends these meetings internationally and he gets to give us the 411 on what's about to happen. So we thank you for that, everyone. And thank you for coming through today, the president. Hamilton Mazakadaza. Well, how did your fans say Mazakalala? I don't even remember. But in all fairness, it took me a while to, you know, learn to pronounce your name as well. But now I know it. So
that's a bit about cricket, huh?
Yeah. No, but Hamilton, I look forward to seeing you in one of our real legends tournaments coming up soon.
I like that.
In a real legends tournament. But for now, I want to thank you very much for showing up for us today. I know we'll see a lot more of you. And I want to say hi to your wonderful wife and your beautiful daughter for us there in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And we'll be coming to Zimbabwe real soon. You never know. Maybe sooner than you think. Maybe they should have a Legends tournament over there. How about that?
I think that's a plan. That's a plan. We should definitely start working on that.
Yeah, we should. We should. Yeah. All right. Don't forget to follow Hamilton Mazakaraza on Instagram. And, you know, the rest of us on Instagram, 124 Not Out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. We're global. You know, that's it. That's a wrap, guys. It's a rainy day in Georgia, and I heard it's not raining all over the world. It's your girl, Basha. God first and man after. We're out. That's a wrap. Cheers. See you next time. All right, that's a wrap.
Okay, let's see how this thing uploads.